There's been a lot of action in the state assembly and Senate over the last few days. The legislature passed a slew of bills on things from high-capacity wells to opioid drug abuse bills.
Sean Johnson joins us now for a look at the news from the state capitol. He's the Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. And Sean, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with what passed in the assembly. Lawmakers there approved legislation that loosened regulations on high-capacity wells. This is something that has been debated, percolating for quite a while now. So what changes under this bill?
Yeah, this is a big bill that's been debated for a while and looks like it's going to become law. It applies to existing wells, and it says that a landowner can repair or replace or sell an existing well without getting a new environmental permit or review from the Department of Natural Resources. This is something that the state's agriculture industry has pushed for pretty heavily, especially the dairy industry, particularly vegetable growers and potato growers in central Wisconsin. And it's something that environmental groups and Central Sands area landowners have fought pretty vigorously, because you have lakes and streams in that region that are drying up as more and more high-capacity wells are drilled in that area.
And under this new bill, so for instance, if a landowner sold their property, the person who bought that property, what could they do?
The well essentially goes with it, and so they're not going to be in danger of losing the permit for that well just because they bought it and, it has to go through a new set of review.
And this is on the governor's desk for his review. Is he expected to sign this?
I'd be very surprised if Governor Walker did not sign this. I don't think he's explicitly said, I'm going to sign this, but he's given every indication that he would. All but one Republican legislator voted for this in the Assembly and the Senate. Governor Walker said good things about it. His spokesman has too.
Another one, state representatives approved a bill eliminating the need for work permits for 16 and 17-year-olds in Wisconsin. What's behind this one, Sean?
Yeah, so essentially right now, 16 and 17-year-olds are supposed to get a work permit to be employed in Wisconsin, and getting that work permit means getting a signature from a parent or a guardian. This bill would take that requirement away. The argument behind it is that there are some 16 and 17-year-olds who might need work but can't get this work permit because their parents aren't involved in their lives the way that they should be. The argument against it is you're taking away a protection that's a child labor protection, essentially, and you're making it easier for businesses to lean on younger employees to run their businesses.
And, Sean, again, a busy week in the legislature. What else happened in the assembly?
It was very big, I guess, week for them in terms of the number of bills that passed. You had them talking about an Every Student Succeeds Act, which is a plan that every state has to draw up under federal guidance. In our case, the state plan was drawn up by the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. This plan would essentially just give the legislature a chance to ask questions of the DPI. You had a number of Republican lawmakers saying we ought to have that say. The thing is, the catch, and it's a big one, is it can't require the DPI to make changes to the plan. So, that is a bill that a lot of Republican lawmakers like in theory, but in reality it doesn't do a whole lot. There are also a number of bills that the Assembly passed aimed at curbing homelessness.
And looking now at the opioid abuse issue in Wisconsin, this has been a big one, a lot of legislature ongoing there. What did we see yesterday in terms of movement on opioid abuse legislation?
What you saw is a couple things. You saw the Senate pass 9 bills, sent them to the governor's desk, and those by and large are aimed at treatment options for opioid addicts. So, in a variety of different ways, whether it be creating a small charter school for opioid addicts at the University of Wisconsin, or just increasing funding for existing treatment programs. Those 9 bills kind of get at that. You also saw, though, yesterday, the State Assembly take up a couple bills that haven't passed the Senate, including one that would essentially say that if somebody is overdosing on an opioid and calls the police or checks themselves into a hospital, they would be immune from prosecution. It's similar to an existing law Wisconsin has for people who call the police or take someone to the hospital they won't get in trouble for it.
And Representative John Nygren, a Republican from Marinette, this has been something he's been especially involved in, this sort of opioid legislation. And he has said that offenders would only get immunity under certain conditions. Here he is.
So what we're doing is we're allowing for the immunity with some exceptions or with some strings attached. We're allowing the limited immunity to flow to the person that's overdosing as long as they either get treatment, get into a drug court, or enter into a deferred prosecution requiring those things.
And this one, this is a change that isn't necessarily a done deal for everybody. It sounds like there was some objection.
Yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable for some Republicans. You heard from Powers Lake Republican Samantha Kirkman last night say she appreciates all the effort here by Representative Nygren, but she couldn't back it.
I just can't support this bill, and I do appreciate the amendments to the bill. I think the amendments make current law better, and they make this bill better, but we still are giving immunity to somebody who might have killed somebody through heroin.
So she's essentially saying that, you know, these people are engaging in behavior they know is risky that could put other people's health at risk when they overdose. And she didn't want to take that step to offer them protection from punishment just because they call police or they check themselves into a hospital.
And we're going to keep going in a little bit as we talk with WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, looking at the latest from the state legislature so far this weekend. And we'll be picking up that conversation in just a few minutes. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. He's sharing the details of the news from the state capitol so far this week. A lot going on.
And Sean, the state senate also passed a measure that it changed administrative rules. This one sounds a little dry. You think, okay, this is wonky legislative stuff. It's not going to be that interesting, but it sounds as though the substance of the arguments behind it and also the potential impact are bigger than that.
I thought it was just, we just broke this out because it's pledge and we do all the exciting topics for pledge. No, I mean, it was a pretty big change to administrative rules in terms of the amount of power that it gives legislators when it comes to rules. So just to backtrack a little bit, administrative rules are like the fine details of laws. So when legislature passes a bill, gets signed into law, it directs policy experts at state agencies to kind of fill in the blanks. They do that through administrative rules. What this bill says is that if those rules drawn up by agencies are found to cost more than $10 million, they are automatically blocked. They're put on hold. And the only way they get taken off hold is if the legislature passes another bill. So one of the many ways in which this bill gives the legislature more power over the rulemaking process. This is something that business groups like a lot, but this is something that Democrats, environmental groups don't like at all.
Well, and it sounds as though if a business didn't hit that dollar threshold, they could hire an outside consulting firm to take a look at that number, and maybe that firm would come back with a different number, and then you're in the ballgame again.
Exact, yes. So the initial estimate would come from the government. And if an agency said, no, we think this is actually going to cost $5 million, the legislature could, if they didn't believe that, they could go out and hire an outside firm. Critics say this will essentially let them shop around for the firm that's going to give them the number that they're looking for.
And as you said, some celebrating these changes. Republican State Senator Devin Lemieux, the measure sponsor, said lawmakers should celebrate this and think it's a good thing.
This is an exciting day for the legislature in the state of Wisconsin. What it does is it shifts the power back to us, the elected officials, in the rulemaking process.
So can you expand a little bit more on why Lemieux is behind this one?
Well, I mean, this is something that businesses have asked for the past couple of sessions. Actually, it was one of those rare issues where business didn't get what it was looking for last session because not all the business groups were on the same page with this. But it's something that they want. They feel like that it will, protect them from rules that are especially costly. Again, critics, though, feel like it prioritizes those costs to businesses or puts a premium on those, but it ignores the benefits of laws that pass the legislature. I mean, there's presumably reasons that legislatures pass the laws sometimes to protect consumers, the public, and they say that's ignored in all this.
And some strong opposition that you heard from State Senator Kathleen Vino, Democrat from Alma. She called the plan, she used the word insidious and said that it prioritized the costs to business over the public good. And here she is.
This is the broadest, most dangerous bill you've never heard of. It's an obscure way to shut down government from doing something that the legislature intended it to do.
And Sean, what is next for this one?
This one still has to clear the state assembly. But this is, I think that the passage out of the Senate with all but one Republican is, definitely momentum in that bill.
So, Sean, moving on, the Senate also passed a bill that would allow delivery drones in Wisconsin. Tell us about this. What would this change?
Just legalizing robots, basically. They look kind of like a cooler, a large cooler. They've got wheels. As long as they're, under 80 pounds and go no faster than 10 miles per hour, these delivery drones under this bill would be able to operate on Wisconsin sidewalks.
I thought drones flew, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen this referred to in a number of different ways. So this isn't a drone that flies through the sky. This is something that would be rolling down the sidewalk.
Okay. It's more like a droid from Star Wars.
I was thinking maybe like Johnny Number 5 from Short Circuit or something like that.
So there's new technology coming to Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I mean, this passed the Senate on a voice vote. In other words, nobody registered their opposition to it. You did hear some criticism, though, from Janet Buley, a Democrat from northern Wisconsin, who said, we're essentially celebrating a technology that's going to take away jobs from people here, that these are jobs being done by people now. This is not exactly a cause for celebration to, as we keep seeing technology like this, take those jobs away.
And Sean, other big news, I guess, depending on your perspective, cheese
it's
is almost Wisconsin's official state dairy product. Maybe for some people, a surprise is that, what do you mean? Cheese wasn't already the state's official dairy product, but it wasn't, it turns out. And the Senate advanced the measure to Governor Walker's desk. What happens now that cheese is being elevated?
I'm going to guess he's probably going to sign this one.
Can you imagine if he didn't?
Well, there are some ceremonial bills that go through the legislature, and when they happen, you'll sometimes hear the minority party criticize the majority party for wasting the public's time, etc. You haven't heard that with this cheese bill. It was an idea generated from fourth graders in the Senate district of Republican Senator Howard Markline. They followed it through. It's coasting on through. Senator Markline says it's finally time cheese gets its due.
I see. And Sean, before we let you go, do you have a favorite Wisconsin cheese?
I'm going to go with sharp cheddar.
Ah, classic.
Yeah, maybe a Parmesan sometimes.
Nice. Those are good choices. Well, Sean, thanks a lot for coming on and talking to me.
All right. You're welcome.
That was Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, joining us to share the latest news from the state capitol so far this week.